in chapter 12 and 13. And I want to talk about being bought with a price. Bought with a price. We've talked about the Passover the last two times that I've preached. I preached the Passover itself and what it was. And that Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The last Passover. All those other Passovers never actually put away sin. All those other Passovers never ever satisfied God. But when our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed as our Passover, that Passover actually put away sin. Once and for all. All for whom Christ died. And then we talked about how that you don't eat it raw. You don't eat it sodden with water. You don't water down the gospel. You got to take a Christ roasted. Take a Christ suffering. Take a Christ under the fire of God's wrath. And you got to have a whole Christ. You can't leave unless you eat it all. And you have to stay in the house until the morning. And all these blessed, blessed truths of our Lord Jesus as a Passover. Now I want to look at some things that the Passover accomplished. That the Passover accomplished. And the first thing I want you to look at is over here. You keep chapter 12. Look over here at chapter 4 in verse 22. This is the first message. The first message to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's going to face God. Pharaoh's going to face God. He already did. God dealt with him in judgment. But he ain't dealt with him like he's going to deal with him. This is what Moses, which he said, now this is, God said, Moses, this is what you're going to say to Pharaoh. And he went into Pharaoh, and thus shalt thou say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. That's the first thing you got to tell him. I'm not speaking. It's not me, Moses. I've got no authority. I've got no power. So the first thing you got to understand is, thus saith the Lord. This is God speaking to you. This is the Lord speaking to you. And Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And since this is my firstborn, the one by whom I made a nation from, you got to let him go. And I say unto thee, let my son go, and if they, and if, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I'll slay even thy firstborn. You won't let my firstborn go, I'll slay your firstborn. And he didn't believe this message. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe God. He didn't believe what the Lord said. He didn't believe what God was going to do. And that's the way the world is. The world doesn't believe God. The Lord, the world doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world don't believe that God's Word is His Word. And our Lord Jesus Christ said this, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And here's the thing. He said, he that believeth and is baptized, that man will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And that's what our Master said. And the majority of people do not believe God means what He says. They don't believe it. They do not believe that God means what He says. Just like you take, when we talk about Christ being our Savior, there's no reason to call Him Savior unless He actually saves. Why would you call Him your Savior unless He saves you? And there's people that call Him Savior all the time, but they say He can't save you unless. Well, if that's His name, His Savior. Did He save? Did He come to save? Who did He come to save? Did He accomplish the salvation He is sent to do? So that's what I say. People actually do not believe what God says. When our Lord Jesus Christ says, no man, no man, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. That's the only two ways you're going to get to God. You're going to get to Him when He draws you, and you're going to get to Him when the Lord Jesus Christ calls you. And you're not going to get to God unless you go through Christ, unless you come in His name, unless you come in His merit, unless you come in His righteousness. Nobody. I can't. David, right now, if you and I go into the presence of God, we got to go one way through His Son. That's a pretty good way of going. Because you know why? Because we believe what God says. I take God at His word. If He said, this is the way you approach the Lord, this way I'm going to come. And this is the way the Passover is. That's the way the Passover is. And we account the long-suffering of God as salvation. He said, "A long-suffering our Lord, and the long-suffering of God, if He had endured with much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction." But His long-suffering has a limit. There's a time that He suffers so long, and then it's over. And I tell you what, He endured Pharaoh for a long, long time. And it said over here in verse 30 of chapter 12, it said this. He said, "There was not left one that was not dead in all the house of Pharaoh and all of Egypt." Not one house didn't have somebody die that night. Not one house. You reckon they believed God then? You reckon Pharaoh believed God then? And so look down here in verse chapter 12 with me in verse 40 and 41. Let's talk about being bought with a price and coming up out of Egypt. Just go over a few things again. Exodus 12, 40 and verse 41. Now this is him rehearsing what happened and how often they're going to do this. "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. God had told them they was going to go into a strange land and they'd go stay there 400 years and that He'd bring them out. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord..." Now listen to that. The host of the Lord. That's what He calls us. All them people said, "These are the hosts of the Lord." Oh, you know, when somebody's a host, you know that means that they take care of you. That you're welcome. Well, go with the Lord. He's the Lord. He said He was our host. We're the host of the Lord. Went out from the land of Egypt. When did they go out? Only after the blood of the Lamb was shed. Only after the blood of the Lamb was not only shed, but it was applied. Not till redemption was actually effected and effectual. They never walked out of Egypt until that blood had been applied, the blood was effectual, and when that morning came, they walked out of those houses because redemption had been accomplished, the blood had been applied, and it was effectual. There wasn't anybody dead in the houses of Israel. All of them come out. And the Lord, He said, "The Lord of hosts come out." And I tell you what, you reckon the blood of Christ is effectual? You reckon it actually cleanses a man from sin? Do you reckon it actually makes a man acceptable to God? Do you actually believe that it, when God sees the blood, He'll pass over you? Do you believe that when God, because the blood's been applied to us, that Christ will take us to glory one of these days? Oh my. They have the promise. "I'm going to bring you out. You're going to be there a long, long time. And we're here a long, long time." Everybody says, every generation said, "I don't see how the world can stand much longer till the Lord comes." And I was a little boy over in North Carolina. I went to a Baptist church, lived with some people that went to a Baptist church, and they'd all pray every evening. They'd all play their guitars and sing gospel songs. Very nice people, wonderful people. Took care of me very well. And I'd go to meeting with them. And that's all that morning talk. "I don't see how the world can stand. This is 1960. 61. I don't see how the world can stand. As wicked as it is." And here it is, 2019. "I don't see how the world can stand much longer. I believe the Lord's going to come." And I do know this. They have the promise you're going to have to stay down there a long, long, long time. But when it's time for you to come out, I'm going to make a way for you to come out. You know I'm going to make a way? Through a lamb. You know I'm going to make a way? Through blood. You know I'm going to make a way? I'm going to make that blood effectual. When you come through that blood, you're coming out of there ready to go. And not only they have the promise, but they have leaders. They've seen wonders. They've seen miracles. But they weren't free until that blood was effectual. And as the Lord of hosts, they were redeemed and they're bought with a price. And away they went. And away they went. And that's why Paul, he said it this way, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, through the payment price of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the transgressions, all the sins under the first covenant, under the covenant of the law, under the covenant, all of the Christ is the mediator, and He done away with all the transgressions of all His people that was under the Old Testament. And now He's the mediator for all beloved before and after, since then. And you know, even our Lord Jesus Christ had to die, or there'd be no redemption. He was the Lamb. He was the Lamb. Our Lord said it this way. He told His disciples. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He died, He brought forth so much fruit. More, He said, no man can number it. 10,000 times, 10,000, thousands, and a multitude that no man can number. One man done that. One man. One man done that. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior, Brad. What a Savior. And then look at the ordinance of the Passover down here in verse 43. The ordinance of the Passover. You know, and that's what He calls it, an ordinance. And we have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. And I tell you what, He says, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. From now on, when you have a Passover, you're going to have one once a year. When you have a Passover, look what He says. No strangers shall eat thereof. What in the world does He mean by that? You've got to be one sheep. You've got to be in the covenant of grace. This lamb was slain for Israel. Only Israel. Like Paul Mann brought about those four things about the house last Sunday morning. And here's the thing about it. No stranger's going to eat thereof. It was for Israel alone, for no foreigner. This feast is for Abraham's children, the children of promise. Children of promise. Abraham's children. And then look what else He said. No stranger's going to eat there. And I tell you what, beloved, and the Hebrews, who read that tonight? You read it. The first verse out of Psalm 66 was that the Lord will even subdue His enemies unto Himself. He subdued me. I was an enemy, and He subdued me. But here He says, no strangers. This is for the Lord's people. This is for Christ's people. This is for God's people, Abraham's children. And then look what He says in verse 45. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. You know, a foreigner, they don't understand your language. First thing about a foreigner. A foreigner comes in here and they'll say, I've never heard anything like that. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Well, there was a time I didn't get it either. I didn't understand it. But God taught me. You know, this is the thing about it. God, the Lord's people speak a language that nobody else speaks. And so when a foreigner comes in here, we talk about grace. And we say free will is one of the awfulest doctrines that's ever been perpetrated on the human race. That's the first thing they say. Oh, that's foreign to me. I don't understand that. We say that Christ has a people, an elect people. Christ died for the elect. Oh. Whew. We say that the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood was shed for that particular people. That they were dead and He gave them life. They were lost and He found them. We didn't find Christ, He found us. Christ wasn't lost, we are the one lost. And you say, and you preach like that, and folks say, "Ooh, that's the strangest thing I ever heard." Foreigners. They don't understand roasting a lamb. They understand walking an aisle. They understand getting on an altar. They don't understand the justice of God demanding the death of the substitute for the sinner. They don't understand how that God's justice must be satisfied and that Christ is the only one who can satisfy it. And like I said this morning, now listen. Is there anything that we've ever done that God would accept by something we've done? Is there anything we've ever done in our lives that would make God accept it? You know why? Because we believe God. We believe God. He set forth His Son. And in His blessed Son, He said, through faith in Him and who He is, not just what He did, but who He is. Who He is. Who He is gave value to what He did. Who I am is what gives value to what I do. And that's why it's got no value to it. But Christ, what He did, got value to it. It's got merit to it. It's got worth to it. It's got power to it. What we are, we got no value to it, no worth to it, no power to it. But He's got it. So no hired servant, no foreigner. You know why no hired servant? He's motivated by self-interest. He's working for pay. Oh, listen, look. I'm going to get so many rewards when I get to heaven. I used to hear them fundamentalists do that. They say, I'm going to get 7 crowns. I heard a preacher say one time, I can't wait till God makes me ruler over Fitzers County. Oh, I can't even rule over myself. But that's how idiotic people are. But oh, no hired servant. And that's why, you know, Romans 4:5 says that God justifies him that worketh not. And then look what it says in verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and keep the Passover. And look what it says down there. And let him come near, and he shall be as one that's born in the land. Now listen to this here. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Now circumcision to the Jewish people, that was a sign of the covenant. And it showed a cleanliness. It typified being clean before God. Being accepted of God. It was a sign of the covenant. And this is Israel as well as Gentiles. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. Only those who belong to the covenant of grace can feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at two places with me. You keep this. First, I want you to look in Colossians. Look over here in Colossians. Talk about this circumcision. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to see this now. You know, the Jews, they still trust in circumcision. They still do that. They have a rabbi. Still do it. And look what is said here. Talking about being complete in Christ. In whom, in Christ, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Man didn't have nothing to do with this. And putting off the body of sins. That's what the filthiness of the flesh, the body of sin of the flesh. Now listen to this. By the circumcision of Christ. Christ cuts off that old body of sin. Christ cuts off that sin. Christ cuts off all our sin. And then look what he says. So we're buried with him in baptism. I believe this baptism here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's what I believe it is right here. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith. Now what? Listen to it now. Through the operation of God. God does this. God does this operation. God does the circumcising. God buries us with Christ. And if the faith is the operation of God, He gave it to us, who has raised Him from the dead. And now look, so we are circumcised. We're clean. We're accepted. And now look over here in Romans chapter 8, or excuse me, chapter 2 in verse 28. I love these two verses of Scripture right here. I love them. Love them, love them, love them. Well, I love it all, but these two right here really mean something to me. Now watch what he says here. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Wears his black hat and his long coats and got the curls hanging out from under his hat. Goes to the synagogue, you know. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. That's not circumcision. God considers it not circumcision anymore. But listen to this. He is a Jew. Notice how that's capitalized. Which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. God told him over there, and he says, don't rid your flesh, circumcise your heart, you know. And he says, circumcision is that of the heart. God does something in the heart. And in the spirit, in our spirit. And not in the letter, not according to the law. Because that, when a man does in the law, he gets praise of men, but not of God. Not of God. And so you see, we've been circumcised. We've been cleansed. We've been accepted. We're in the covenant. The covenant of grace. Huh? All right, now look back over here with me again, verse 44. Now here's people. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he. Now a hired servant can't do it. But if you're a bond slave, if you've been bought for money, and you've been circumcised, then you're able to eat the Passover. Well, I was bought. I was a bond servant. You know, no hard servant could, but a bond servant could. And you know what a bond servant is? Somebody's got to set them free. And they got to be circumcised. Got to set them free. That Passover sets them free. And oh my. And he says he's been purchased. He's been circumcised. He's one of the household. He belongs in the family. And so he gets to eat the Passover. And then look what he says here in verse 48 again. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee or travel with you, and he will keep the Passover to the Lord. Here's the first thing he's got to have. Let all his males be circumcised. We just talked about we've been circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that's born in the land. Oh, that foreigner who, if he submitted, to God's way. This is the thing. He's got to submit to what God said. He's got to submit to this circumstance. He's got to submit to what God said. And that's what we, you know, as people, strangers without God, without Christ, and without hope, now we're brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, if there's anything that we haven't submitted to, I tell you what, everybody in this building who's a believer wants to. Ain't that right? Oh, you want to submit. You know, that's one of the griefs of our hearts, that we can't submit the way we want to. That's a great grief to our hearts. Oh, my. And then look in verse 46. In one house shall it be. Now, he's talking about the Passover that's going to be on this way from here on. In one house shall it be. Thou shalt not carry forth all of the flesh abroad out of the house. And neither shall you break a bone there. The lamb was to be eaten under the shelter of the atoning blood. That blood's there. And you're eating that lamb where the blood is. And beloved, we're eating the lamb. We eat the Christ. We trust Christ. And we believe Christ. And we believe Him and trust Him. And we're under the shelter of the atoning blood. I'm going to sing that little chorus in a little while. I hope I can sing it. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold, safe though the worlds may crumble, safe though the stars grow dim, under the blood of Jesus, I am secure in Him. Oh, listen, that's, and the lamb, listen to this, and the lamb can only be eaten really where it's virtue on. They got to believe that blood. They got to trust God for that blood. They got to trust God that God will not punish them on account of that blood. On account of that lamb. That God won't punish them. And here's the thing about it. If they deny that blood, they deny the lamb. If you deny the blood, you deny the person. If the blood and the person go together, well, they neither one of them go together. The lamb and the blood. You got to have the lamb before you can have the blood. And once you've got the lamb, you've got the blood. We got Christ and we got everything that goes with Him. Huh? And I'll tell you what, then He says, neither shall any bone be broken. Do y'all remember? This is what He said in Psalm 34:20. And not a bone of His shall be broken. It was the Passover. And they slay the Passover in the afternoon. It's when the Jews slay the Passover. And they said, you know, we want these three men that's on these crosses. We want them taken down. We want them taken down before the Passover. Before it's time to slay the Passover. Before we eat the Passover. And they went up there. And those two fellows were still alive. One on either side of Christ. They took a big old hammer and broke their legs. They died immediately. But you know why they didn't break Christ's legs? He's already gone. He's gone. And looked at Him. He wasn't alive. You know what He had done? He said, Lord, it's finished. And into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And the Scripture said He gave up the ghost. No man took His life from Him. He laid it down of His own power. And He took it up of His own power. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, my. And that's why they never broke it. Not a bone of His shall be broken. And then let me hurry up. I think this is the last. No, it's not. Look what He says here in chapter 13. And the Lord, first two verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. What this means is separate me, every firstborn, it belongs to me. Every firstborn. And I tell you, if God acts in grace towards His people, and by that act of grace that He gives towards His people, He lays claims on them. And ain't you thankful to be His? He can lay all the claim on me He wants to. I'm glad He claimed me. If He acts in grace and He shed the blood and He says, Thou art mine, He lays claim to you. You belong to Him. And ain't that wonderful to me to belong to Him? Him lay claim to you? And oh my, firstborn. Oh, a redeemed people become the property of the redeemed, the Redeemer. Sanctify to me the firstborn. You're bought with a price. Glorify therefore God in your body and your spirit. And the firstborn, it was the firstborn that was redeemed from judgment in Egypt. Every firstborn in Egypt died that night. Some died without Christ and no bloodshed. But everyone in those houses where the lamb was, they died in the lamb. And God claims the firstborn for Himself. And then look what He says down here in verse 6 and 7. Now He separates them for Himself. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Don't even let it be in your house. 7 days. And this is the nature. This is the nature of sanctification. Leaven is of course, it's what we call baking soda. Whatever they put in stuff to make biscuits and things with. But this is the nature of sanctification. In the Scriptures, leaven was always spoken of in an awful way. Always spoken of as a corrupt thing. And like leaven in a little bit of dough makes the whole dough rot. And here's the thing about it. A little bit of leaven in us spoils us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. And so it counts and it spreads into everything it comes in contact. And it's more, this here leaven, putting the leaven out, is more than indulging the flesh and the grosser sins of things. Let me give you 3 or 4 things here. You have to look at it. But remember now, Lord Jesus Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought He'd talk about the bread. And He says, no, I'm talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. Oh, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of their traditions. Their hypocrisy, their formalism, their legalism. Beware of them. Beware to be seen of men. You to stay away from that Pharisaical religion. If you go to Phariseeism and you go to legalism and formalism and ceremonialism and love to be seen of men, He said it'll leaven everything about you. It'll ruin you. And then there's the leaven of the Sadducees. Leaven of the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe that there was a spirit, the Holy Spirit or any spirit. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe there's such a thing as an angel. That's a Pharisee. And He says, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisee, of the Sadducees. They were materialists. They denied the spirit in man. They reject the resurrection. And you know how many people, you just start asking people when you're out in the world someday, do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe that there's life hereafter? Most folks will say, yes, I believe that there's a higher power. I don't know if any of y'all ever been to AA or had anything to do with AA. Anything like that. But the first thing you got to acknowledge is that there has to be a higher power than yourself. Don't call Him what you want to. Call Him supernatural, call Him Father, call Him there's just a great power out there, but the first thing you got to do is acknowledge that there's a power greater than yourself. Call Him whatever you want to. The only people who know, they ain't got no strength in their... Oh, God. But they don't think... We watched this stupid movie last night. I think it was last night. This guy had cancer. He's going to die. He's going to die. He said, well, nothing he could do. So they gave him medicine for him to take his own life, and just he had a set system to go through this thing, and then he took the last thing, and when he took the last thing, he laid down, and just in a few minutes he quit breathing. But this is what he said. This is what people really believe. He said this. He said, I don't know if there's a hereafter or not, but if there is, do you want me to come back and let you know some way? He said, you want me to come back and write something on your mirror? So, you know, listen, there's a hereafter. You can believe it. You can believe it. You can believe that. And man's got a spirit. And then there's the leaven of Herod. You know what the leaven of Herod was? Worldliness. Worldliness. He wanted to please everybody. Had people dance around. You want this, you want that, you want this other thing. He tried to please everybody. That's the leaven of Herod. And so he says, purge out that old leaven. Don't want no leaven. Don't want no leaven in our heart. Don't want no leaven in our lives. Don't want no leaven in our doctrine. Now let me show you this, and I'm done. Look here in verse 8. Here's the basis for this feast, the reason for this feast. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because we're doing this. We're taking the Passover. We're shedding this blood. We're roasting this lamb. And we're putting it over the door and not having unleavened bread. We're doing this because of that which the Lord did. Because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came up out of Egypt. Oh my. When they take the Passover, we're doing this because of what God did. God brought us up out of Egypt. God told us to take a lamb. God said it'd be without spot and blemish. God said shed the blood. God told where to put the blood. God said what to do with the lamb. God said. And this is why we do it. And when we take the Lord's table, why do we do it? When we get baptized, why do we do it? And the foundation with this feast was to show our children that redemption's accomplished. That is entered into, and not only is it entered into, but it's enjoyed. And look what he says in verse 9. And this shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand. Oh my. Oh my, going to be a sign on your hand. What does that mean? That our hands, we use our hands to glorify God. Use our hands to praise the Lord. Use our hands to do the Lord's service. And oh my, then look what he said else. What else he said? And be a memorial between thine eyes. A memorial between your eyes? What he's telling you is that there's only one thing for your eyes to see. That's that lamb. That lamb with that blood. You know, look to the lamb. Look to what God has done. Set nothing before your eyes. Don't have no statues, no monuments, no phylacteries. Don't have none of that. And look what else he said here. That the law, the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. What is he talking about here? The Word of God, the doctrine of Christ, the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what he says, and this is what we say. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee up out of Egypt. God did this. Oh my. Oh, we're the prize. We're His. And I'm surely, surely thankful that He laid claim to me. Laid claim to me. I got a two-word sermon that Paul preached Saturday night. Follow me. That's the best message I've ever heard. All right. Well.